We continue our reading of the Holy Scriptures. We recently began 1 Samuel. We come today to 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we'll read verse 1 to, I believe, verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Now, here we have what's called the Song of Hannah. It's actually a prayer. And remember in chapter 1, Elkanah had this godly man, but he had two wives, which is not good, and they were rivals. And Hannah is the one who's barren, and she's afflicted by Penina, who has all these children, and she's lording it over the barren Hannah. And you may go, there's a lot of barren women in the Bible, particularly the Old Testament. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, the covenant heir to whom a child was promised, she wasn't able to have children. And what's happening is the Bible frequently uses, particularly in the Old Testament, the picture of the barren wife as a depiction of the spiritual condition of God's people. And what happens when you've turned away from the Lord? You're barren, and their lives are barren. They're not bearing fruit. They're not enjoying the lives they should. And so God's going to bring the prophet Samuel, Samuel the judge, the last of the judges. He's going to lead the people in a mighty way, and he causes him to be born through a barren womb to make the point that salvation is by grace. All these barren wombs are ways of teaching us that salvation is not about what we've done and what we've accomplished. Oh, God, help us. No, we were utterly destitute. We were humiliated. We were completely under the power of sin, but God saved us by supernatural power, and the barren womb is a way of showing that. And so Hannah is given a child in answer to her prayer to show that salvation is by grace alone. Now, as we read this this poem, with this prayer, there's a lot of language in here about the mighty being cast down, about the mouths of the oppressor being shut. And of course, in this case, she's talking about Penina, her fellow wife who's been oppressing her. But the truth is that the biblical idea of salvation involves this. God not only delivers us from oppression, but he does so in a way that he defeats the oppressor. And I think that American Christians today probably don't connect with that much because we have not yet been severely persecuted. But that's actually a rare experience in the history of God's people, which I think the Lord is probably soon going to rectify in our case, and we'll gain a better appreciation. But most Christians throughout history have been utterly oppressed by wicked foes, and they've been mocked, and they've been scandalized, and they've been treated unfairly. And you better believe when you've had that experience that part of the good news is that God cast down the wicked oppressor. And that theme is found very much in this prayer. Interestingly, it's found in its companion poem and song and prayer, which is offered by Mary, the Virgin Mary, in Luke chapter 1, when the angel Gabriel comes and he tells her that the Holy One, the Son of God, is going to be born in her womb. She sings a prayer to God. We call it the Magnificat, which is blatantly drawn from Hannah's prayer. And so much of Mary's prayer is the same way. She wants God to be glorified. And God has done a marvelous thing through her. Salvation is by grace alone. But he's going to deliver an afflicted people. And that evil, which had been rebelling against God and had been mocking his people, and it was so sure it was going to continue, it's not going to continue. And God's going to take down. All that kind of language is in Hannah's song and in Mary's song. And then the purpose of it all is that God would receive the glory for the grace he has given through the coming of the prophet Samuel, but ultimately because through the virgin womb of Mary, God has sent his own son. Let him be exalted because he is our Savior. He is our rock. There is none like him. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, and the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down the Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy ministered to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.